going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
Recently, I've been getting called on Twitter, mm-hmm. Auntie Ava.
You don't like it.
Well, let me just say, why? I mean,
you know what it is?
Am I that old?
No, see, I knew that was gonna be the thing.
And it's not a respect. Don't give me.
It is a respect thing. I'm from the South.
Auntie Ava, like,
I didn't say Auntie.
Aunt Jemima,
I said Miss Ava.
Yeah, that's movie director Ava DuVernay pushing back on the Auntie Ava label on social media earlier this month. Oprah Winfrey and CBS News anchor Gayle King also chimed in an Oprah magazine interview saying they don't like it either. Is this much ado about nothing, or is this about women trying to define themselves for the masses and for themselves? We have a women's roundtable to talk about this and related issues. My guests are Dr. Sharon Adi. She is a physician, speaker, and author, fashion blogger Lauren Yvette, and Io Rozier. She's a PhD student in the Howard University Department of Political Science. If you have a comment, if you have a question about the Auntie issue, give me a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You're certainly welcome to tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Ladies, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thank you
for having us.
Good. So I'm going to get myself in trouble. So I'm glad it's the weekend, so I won't have to worry about any drama at work until Monday about this. What is the big deal about this? Io, I'm going to start with you because you're new to the program. What's going on? Can they call you Auntie Io?
I don't mind. I mean, when I, you know, and some of my other fellow guests here, you know, she's saying that she's too young and she believed that as well. You know, but, you know, I think I'm pretty young too. And I was in Ghana last year and it was so amazing to me to hear everybody saying, you know, hey, Auntie, how you doing, Auntie? And it was really a term of endearment. When I was growing up in Jamaica, it was the same thing. It's the same cultural thing where I never even knew the name of my parents, you know, friends. They were always Auntie or Uncle. If you got in trouble, you know, somebody was going to discipline you because your auntie, you know, or their uncle. But, you know, I understand where they are maybe coming from with the whole, like, you know, it's Aunt Jemima, you know, with that slave mentality. I think they're thinking about the history of slavery when, you know, black people weren't addressed by their actual names. Mm. Black people were addressed by Auntie this, Aunt Jemima, just like they said. And that slave culture, that enslavement culture may be perpetuated in the way they feel in making that statement. But now in our culture, you know, in the Afrocentric culture, in the sense of agency, in using language to own ourselves, I really believe that it's a term of endearment, and we're just loving each other and being a community, and we have to do that anyway, just to bridge the gap of hate and anger.
Lauren, is this a pushback by Oprah, Gayle, and Ava DuVernay on age? That's what Ava DuVernay says. She says, am I that old? Honestly, do you think that black folks are using this term in reference to Aunt Jemima? Black folks just don't do that.
Well, before I say anything, I have to say I love Oprah, I love Gayle, and I love Ava. So whatever they want me to call them, I will call them that, because mm-hmm. hopefully they call me. So I have to give that disclaimer out there, because it is what it is. But in terms of this conversation, I do think some of it does have to do with age. Like, Io called me out already, just started talking that I personally think that in calling someone, using a moniker or using the term auntie and before their name, does denote something that has to do with their age. And I think that in the push back, there's nothing wrong with saying, I don't think I'm that old, or why are you calling me that, or what are you insinuating with that term? I don't think there's anything wrong with that pushback at the same time, but do I think it has something to do with age? I can say yes. I wouldn't talk to my friends of around 20 and 30 somethings and call hey auntie, hey auntie, when we go to brunch. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to call my colleague auntie.
Yeah, but they're not. But like you said, these are women of a certain age. I think Ava DuVernay is probably the youngest in this threesome of women. Oprah Winfrey is 60. Okay, mm-hmm. Gail is near that. Yeah, Ava DuVernay is, what, 46, 47 years old. You know, I get it. Would I do that? No, but I think this is a pop culture phenomenon because we have on social media, Dr. Sharon, they're calling Auntie Maxine, California Congresswoman Maxine Waters. Mm-hmm. Haven't heard her push back on it.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is the thing for me. And the thing for me is this. I am auntie. I'm Auntie Sharon to my nieces and my nephews and my godchildren. Don't call me godmommy. Most of them call me godmommy. I don't have a big issue with this. I actually wish they would use their star power to talk about what I do have an issue with. And that's calling me the B word and the H word and popular secular music. Sometimes we need to just sit down for a minute. Is it really offensive that someone calls an old, I'm from the South. So if you would call somebody by, if somebody called me Sharon in North Carolina and they 20 years old, 10 years old, whatever, they may get a little swollen lip. Cause you don't do that. You, right. You say Miss Sharon, Dr. Sharon or whatever. And so if auntie is a term, but the bigger issue for our community is how women are treated and black women are relegated to different terms. So long as you ain't saying B word, H word or the N word. We can work it out.
There you go. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tonight we are at the Women's Roundtable. We're talking about how women are giving pushback on this term, auntie, and defining themselves for the masses. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call. Again, the lines are open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Israel, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I just got basically a comment.
Go ahead.
When you listen to people like Steve Harvey or Snoop Dogg, even Charlamagne, they refer to themselves as Uncle Steve, Uncle Snoop, even Uncle Charlotte. It's a term of respect. You see what I'm saying? So they don't know Miss Oprah or whoever you, you know what I'm saying? So it wouldn't be appropriate for them to say Oprah or Ava. It's a respect thing.
Yeah.
To me.
Okay. Thank you so much. And to that point, you know, I have had one or two, young people make reference to calling me, you know, Uncle Harold. Am I offended? No. Would I prefer that you just call me Harold? Yes. Am I going to worry about it? No.
Right.
I just don't care. I don't care. And, you know, allow me to be, to speak about, I just think that this thing with Oprah Gail, and I would say Oprah and Gail because Ava DuVernay, like I said, she may not, she's the youngest of that trio. This is about vanity. This is about being, about pushing back on, oh my God, clutch the pearls. I'm getting old. Well, you know, not everybody
What's
can say that.
What's the alternative?
How about
What's
that?
What's the alternative?
Come
she
on.
Said queen.
Y'all.
She wants to be called queen.
Oh,
queen Ava.
You could call me queen
yeah.
every day.
That's the alternative.
Every day. Well, my license plate says
we done
Empress,
lost our mind
so
again.
Oh, that would have said.
What about Mr.? What about Miss, Mrs., Mr., Dr.?
Sir.
Ma'am. Whatever. Ma'am. Well, I'm going to call you queen. I ain't trying to be funny. I ain't hating on Ava, but I mean, Miss DuVernay, whatever.
Yeah. I think that once you, particularly in this group of women, these are women who have achieved great things. And, you know, Ava DuVernay, she's not a Southerner. The interviewer in this case, he said, I'm from the South.
Right.
So maybe there is context.
There is.
You know, there is cultural and geographic context.
Right. And we have to also think about language and language as a counter narrative and how we use language as well. Because if we're thinking of it as an age thing, like, you know, oh my God, I'm not that old. You know, if we change the narrative and say, hey, you know, like Dr. over here was saying, you know, this is about respect. This is about community. This is about history. This is about owning ourselves and owning our own and making ourselves feel good about that, bridging the gap. You know, so mm-hmm. I really think it's a really good idea. And, you know, Miss and Mrs. and Mr. You know, we can do that as well. Mm-hmm. You know, but I mean, if that's what they want to be called, like my sister over here said, you know, hey, we'll call you whatever you want to be called. But at the end of the day, it's a respect thing, and it's bridging the gap, and it's feeling the love.
Let's talk about the respect thing. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Joy calling from Bowie. Thanks for calling, Joy. What's on your mind?
Hi. I think that the term auntie is fine for a woman over 45. I have children who are grown adults, and I'm over 45, and they better not call me anything other than Miss, Mommy, or Auntie. And I think that, you know, the common theme, Oprah doesn't have children, and I don't think Ava has children, so maybe they're not used to being maternal. But I think of all of our young African Americans as my children. I could be their auntie. I could be their mother, and I want to mentor them. And I think that that is a term of respect, and it's showing that you regard them as somebody who is above you in the cycle of life, who can help you and mentor you.
Interesting, Joy. Thank you so much. One of the things that just occurred to me, I remember when I was growing up as a young man, and there were times when I would speak to a woman who obviously was older than me, although I did not know how much older, and I referred to her as yes ma'am or no ma'am. Mm-hmm. And I remember some of them clapping back and said, don't call me ma'am. Mm-hmm. And so I think this can put people in a difficult position when you are trying, okay, auntie, maybe not, but you know, if you, Do you, hey, you know, hey, miss, yeah, excuse me, ma'am. No, I'm not a man. Well, then what do you call them? How do you deal with that?
Well, you go back to the reality of some stuff is just, I'm just going to say it. You know, I keep it real. This is really, and all the stuff going on in African Americans and this fool in the White House and all this craziness. The fact that you have leading voices talking about, oh, I'm not auntie, whatever. Honey, can you please talk about the N word, the B word and the H word, and just don't take me back to segregation?
Yes.
And let's talk about that. Those are the bigger issues that I need sound bites on.
Okay. Well, let's find out what Peaches has to say. Peaches, that's a Southern name, calling from Virginia. Peaches, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to say that I find auntie as a term of endearment. Mm-hmm. I have, I'm almost 66, and a lot of the young people in my office call me Auntie Peach, Mama Peach. I have all kind of play nieces and nephews and daughters and sons at the office, as well as my daughter's friends. And I feel it's a term of respect, and I get sick of people worrying about how they sound. Someone's trying to make them sound older than they mm-hmm. are. How about you be glad to live to get this?
Yes.
You know, and find, I agree with your panel there, the young lady who said they could find a lot more important things to talk about, and that's what they need to concentrate on instead of their age. They got too much money, so they don't have anything else to do.
There you go, Peaches. Thank you so much. One of the things that happened just about a week or so ago, and this kind of dovetails into this issue of women defining or redefining themselves. Tonga Turner, the first black woman elected mayor in Upper Marlboro, abruptly resigned after 18 months in office. And this is the reason that she gave for resigning.
I was in this hallway working out data and reports and economic development plans, and I had completely missed my very own baby's preschool graduation. And I said to myself, am I truly ready to make that sacrifice? Am I ready to deal with the repercussions of that from this day and many years to come? And the answer to that was no.
There was a lot to this story. Of course, there were reports that she had been harassed, and there had been some damage to her property. But if we take this at face value, I think, Ayo, that there are so many layers to this. She said she chose family over service. But I would argue this is what you signed up for. Politics, high profile positions are hard, not only on individuals, but on families.
I totally agree, especially as a rising political science major in the Department of Political Science here at Howard University, and getting a doctorate, you know, hopefully next year, you know, where I would probably be called on for service. I mean, this is what I'm signing up for. And I have kids, you know, and I mean, I think I'm pretty young to have kids. And I know what that sacrifice is. You know, I go out there every day. I mean, I work full time. I go to school at night. I don't think the conversation is women go back into the kitchen barefoot and pregnant. I think we fought way too hard for that. I think the conversation is that it's a choice. You know, if we're taking it at face value, mm-hmm. that this is the reason why she's really doing it, you know, then yeah, it's her choice, but I don't believe that we have to turn back the clock. I believe that every woman gets a choice to choose, and they could choose however they want to do it.
We're going to continue this conversation in just a bit, but I want to let Mona from D.C. know, Donna from Fort Washington, I think, and V calling from Woodbridge. We're going to talk to you next. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If you have difficulty getting through, please keep trying. I promise I will get to you. We're at the Women's Roundtable talking about women defining themselves for the masses. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're here at the Women's Roundtable to talk about how women are defining themselves to the masses. My guests are Dr. Sharon Adi. She's a physician, speaker, and author, fashion blogger, Lauren Yvette, and Io Rozier, PhD student in the Howard University Department of Political Science. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I want to go back to this issue regarding the mayor of Upper Marlboro. As a matter of fact, today was her last day in office. Lauren, your thoughts about not only what she said, but her choices.
I don't think there's anything wrong with her choice. Like you were saying, Io, when we're looking at it in terms of face value, if you want to be home, you want to be present, you want to be a mother, a wife, you want to be a leader in your community, all those things, if you need to step back from your job for that, I have nothing wrong with that. I think that if that is her choice on face value, then we can all agree that that's her choice to make. But in terms of when you say, I want to stand up and I want to represent my community, or I want to be a leader for Black women, those currently, those coming up, those before me, those behind me, when you say, I want to speak for an entire commission or county, that's when you should already have these conversations about how is this going to affect my family? How is this going to affect my children or my everyday? I mean, just running a campaign period. We talk about me being a fashion blogger, but I also work for Congress. Woman Marsha Fudge. I was her communications director. I worked in Atlanta for a city council person. I was her communications director. I know it's hard to be a woman and to be an elected official, but it's something that we can do because we always step up to challenges. That's what Black women do. And so I think that, again, when you make these decisions, you already know what's happening, and we've kind of been talking about that. So that does cause me to pause and think, well, what else may be going on in this story? What other things may we not be aware of? I mean, we talked about some racial incidents that have been in the news as well. So that may be a part of it. But there are some questions that, you know, I think about when we talk about her making that statement and also talking about the family at the same time, because that's important. We know that. But we also know that there also may be some other stuff happening.
Dr. Sharon.
Now, you know good and well, let's just keep it real. Black women have not had the luxury of being at home, putting their feet up, cooking, taking care only the family and not having a career. Most of us, most of our mothers worked and did it all. Now, yes, we now can make that choice, and I'm all for that. But just like what you said, that comes up when you decide I'm going to ask some people to contribute to my campaign because I'm a run. And then 18 months later, when you're planning your life, you plan your life. And as I was talking to other people today, this is not new in medicine. This is huge. Actually, you know how people choose their specialties based on career choices. So surgeons that are over 50 that are females, especially black females, most of them never got married. Most of them never had kids because it is still in this very kind of sexist situation looked at with a tainted eye. I mean, I have had friends that worked up until literally they had the baby the next day and 2 weeks later were back on the floor because of the profession and the rigor and wanting to make sure that you were not anything less. And I don't believe that. I believe that women should take time. I think you do what you need to do. But didn't you notice when you were in the kitchen planning this campaign, not trying to be negative, but I, something else, because in our culture, we have always worked.
And there's no, and she is a professional woman. She wasn't, you know, barefoot in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. You know, let us be clear. But I think that one of the difficulties of this particular issue, because you can choose what you want to do.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. Let's be clear. We can all agree on that. But I think that the difficult thing, and I'm speaking as a reporter, when you interview a woman who is running for office, she could be running for president, dog catcher, county executive, county commission, councilman, whatever. Historically, mm-hmm. we've had women reporters and male reporters say, well, how is this going to affect your family and your children? Huh? You never ask the men that question.
Right.
Nobody asks the men, how is this going to impact? Are you going to be able to take care of your children? They only ask the women. Mm-hmm. And when they ask the women those questions, often the reporters, particularly the male reporters, are accused of being sexist. So this decision, does this set that dynamic back, because now she is making, as she said, family over service. So she put it out there before somebody could ask her the question about how this. What do you think, Lauren?
Well, I don't think it sets us back. I mean, we understand, like you said, we still live in a sexist society, but we also know when we talk about black women, we talk about black women saving the country, saving society, it's because we take care of communities and families. Mm-hmm. We are known to be the nucleus in the household. So I think it is an obvious question for a reporter to ask a woman who's running for office, how is this going to affect your family? Because a woman is assumed to take care of the family. So I don't necessarily think that because she decided to say, I want to make this decision for my family, that sets us back. I mean, she also is a younger elected official, so she has time to jump back in the race and still work and still serve if that's what she wants to do. So I didn't hear her say, I'm totally done or I'm stepping out of service. I think that for her to make that decision now, again, if that's on face value, that was a personal decision, but it doesn't necessarily, you know, push us back or anything like that.
Let me go to the phone lines before we continue this conversation. V, calling from Woodbridge. V, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
How you doing?
Just fine. Go right ahead.
Good. I actually called in to speak about, I guess, your original topic.
Yeah, well, this is all together. Speak your mind. Go right ahead.
Okay. The first thing on my mind is that as far as what we are called, I think we're probably the only culture that has redefined ourselves or renamed ourselves so many times throughout history that, you know, we're now getting down to what seems to be nitpickies. About the auntie versus, you know, calling me queen thing, I think a lot of people already said my piece a little bit in that, you know, it's a matter of respect. I'm even when I was in my 30s, I'm a teacher, and I had students who would, you know, sometimes want to call me auntie. And the first time it happened, I kind of looked at them kind of crazy, but it's like, you know what? I received that as we've built at least some kind of a relationship that mm-hmm. you respect me enough to put me in the place of someone you respect within your family. So for these ladies that I highly respect and have met Ms. DuVernay at least once, you know, I'm really surprised that that's the dialogue of the day. I'm kind of disappointed about it because, as also has been said, there are so many more important topics that need to be discussed and problems and mm-hmm. issues that need to be worked out that this really pales in comparison as to being called auntie or what have you, because the only thing lower than that, or I should say next level, would be cousin.
Hmm.
And a cousin would put you on the same level as a peer. So it wouldn't even be respectful for someone to refer to Ms. DuVernay because of, if it was her age thing, they might call her cousin or sis or something like, and that puts you on my level. And I think that the folks who do that, it's also a cultural, not a cultural thing, well, this nuance of culture, this new culture, new generation thing, where people are more comfortable. When we were coming up, and I came up in like the 70s or so, you know, everyone of a certain age had to have a title in front of their name. My next door neighbors were, they were either Mr., Mrs., something, first name, last name, what have you. They had to have a title.
Okay.
So if you were raised that way, then that's probably some of where that comes from. The whole ma'am thing, now when someone calls me ma'am, now I'm a little bit offended. Because now I do feel like you're calling.
Look, V, thank you so much for your input. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Mona, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Mona. What's on your mind?
Hi. Thank you for having me on the show.
Sure.
I was actually calling to comment about the phrase auntie.
Go right ahead.
Auntie.
Go right ahead.
So I was actually born in Liberia, Monrovia, West Africa, and we call all of our aunts, uncles, we call them aunts, not uncles, of course, we call them auntie, and that's the term of respect. As your elder, you don't address your elder by their first name, so you call them auntie. And actually, when I was a child, I called my mother auntie, and that was because everybody referred to my mother as auntie. And I didn't start calling my mother mom until we moved to the United States.
Hmm.
And that's when she came and had a discussion with me saying, okay, we're now in America. They don't understand our culture and how we do things. So you now should call me auntie versus, excuse me, call me mom versus calling me auntie. And I agree with all of the other women that came up. I cannot believe that Oprah and Gail, especially Oprah, would be using this platform to talk about being called auntie. It's a sign of respect. It's not a sign of disrespect. And there's so many pressing issues about women that need to be addressed than being referred to as auntie.
Okay. Mona, thank you so much. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. I have touched a nerve today. My friend Patricia has just sent a white paper to me in a text. I mean, she says, unless someone is my biological niece or nephew, do not, she's yelling now, do not call me auntie, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, emoji, emoji, anger, the whole bit. Auntie is a bit too familiar and comes off as a bit disrespectful. Respectfully, we were taught to refer to our elders outside of our families as Ms. or Mrs. When you are not as close to me, it's fine once you develop a relationship with the individual. I'm going to call Patricia tonight. I'm going to say, Auntie Patricia, and she's going to give me the quiet cell phone hang up.
We get as upset with all the exclamation points.
Yes.
Does Oprah get as upset? I don't know. I'll Google it and see. Do we get as upset when we are rocking in the car and we hear the denigration of women being called by other women? By other women, female rappers, whatever, the B word, the H word, and the N word. That's why I want us to take this anger to. You can call me whatever, but don't call me those. And I'll say that again. Do we get as upset? And do we have as many shows on that by us, to us, and support these millionaire singers who denigrate us?
Well, but here's the other thing, and I'm sure we've also seen this. This was trending about a month or so ago, a video of Maya Angelou when a young woman or and she may have been an older teenager, but she was a young person who referred to her as, I believe it was by her name, by Maya Angelou, instead of calling her, you know, Miss Angelou or what have you. And she became quietly indignant. And there was a lot of discussion about how she addressed one of the most revered black women in all of the world. Okay. Now, I think one of the things that really kind of bothered me about that was because you are so big that, you know, and people feel familiar with you. I think the dressing down of that young lady was publicly inappropriate because she reduced her to smaller than a mustard seed. And I think that sometimes you have to realize what you mean to people within the cultural parameters, whether it's, you know, it's auntie, cousin, sis, you know, when they're not dropping the B word or the H word or, you know, they know you because they wake up and they see you on TV and they hear you, you know, no one knew who Ava DuVernay was, you know, 6 or 7 years ago. And until she became this famous director. And now not only do they know her as that, but they know her as a one of us.
You can't have it both ways.
Yeah. Let me go to Pam calling from Virginia. Pam, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Good evening, everyone.
Sure.
I agree wholeheartedly with, I'm sorry, I don't remember the woman's name. I'm sorry.
Go right ahead.
That.
That's all right.
The one who is saying that, what is the big deal about calling them auntie? What, I mean, Oprah, you got quadrillions of dollars. I'm working 2 full-time jobs, and you worried about somebody calling you auntie?
Mm-hmm.
My nieces and nephews and girlfriends' children call me Auntie Pammy, Auntie Pam.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand what the big deal is. The second thing I got to say is, I also agree with you on this. I think it was you that also said this. The woman in Maryland who's left her job.
Oh, yeah, Mayor Turner. Yes.
Right. Thank you. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Go right ahead.
You didn't know that you were going to miss some things before you decided to run for office? Please, honey, you need to tell us what really happened. Don't go there. Don't do that. Something else happened, and if you didn't figure out that you were going to miss some things before you ran, then you got some issues. But every woman who has run for office or even just gone to work in the grocery store knows, okay, I'm going to miss this, and maybe this because I got to work or I want to work.
Well, there you go.
I don't buy it. And Oprah and Gail, all of y'all that, like I said, y'all got money. I'm working 2 full-time jobs. No.
Well, thank you, Pam. I appreciate that. And this goes back to Io. And how old are your children?
Well, my daughter is 18 and my son is 7.
Okay, boy, black does not crack. But you
well,
know,
I'm also young, so
right, exactly. So, but here's the thing:
I'm young too, honey.
Right,
that's right. We all young.
Old
that's
dumb.
Right. Ooh.
But you're married.
Yes.
Okay, so you have a backup to remind you when you are at Founders Library or in the political science department to remind you that your 7-year-old son has the championship softball game that you must attend.
I don't know, Harold. I mean, I'm going to like get in on you with that one. Okay. Because I mean, first of all, okay, I'm a military spouse.
Okay.
Okay. Well, ex-military spouse now. And when my husband was deployed and gone all the time with our daughter, you know, I had to hold things down. I didn't have anybody there holding things down and reminding me.
So how did you?
I was also doing my master's degree. I was also working and all of the above. And then now when I'm in school now, I work full time as well. And I go to school full time. I run a business. I own a publishing company. You know, I mean, I'm doing all those things now. Yes, he's picked up the slack. You're right. You know, but it's a two-way street and it goes both ways. And whether you're being, there's no such thing as 100%, 50-50 in any relationship.
Right.
You know, there's always, you know, 60-40, 30-20. I mean, like whatever it is, there's no 100% all the time. So, you know, he picked up the slack at one time. I picked up the slack at the other time.
So, but here's my question. Mm-hmm. And here's my point. Okay. So I didn't know about the military piece. So, but when he was deployed, how did you keep yourself from missing the important stuff? And I'm sure you're not perfect, and there were probably some things where you may have dropped the ball.
Oh, yeah.
But to the issue with, you know, Mayor Tonga Turner, she had a husband, mm-hmm. has a husband, who one would hope was backing her up. And she had a job where maybe she did not delegate. This was a new political position. But for someone such as you who has all of these things on your plate, do you think that you were just able to be more organized for your children as a mother and professional woman?
I don't know, because I'm not going to go in on a sister. You know, I mean, like, I don't really know what her situation is.
Right.
But like the caller just said, and my co-panelist just said, you know, she must have had some idea, some conversation about what this is going to be. When I decided I was going to go back to school and get my doctorate, you know, there was a conversation that was had. You know, I was going to be in the library a lot more. I was going to be leaving work and going straight to campus, going to classes, going to the library, that 4 hours, you know, per class. You know, that conversation was held. And we all decided as a family what was going to be good for us. Now, my daughter started high school at 12 years old and started college at 15 years old.
Oh, wow.
And a rising junior doing neuroscience at Carnegie Mellon University right now.
Wow.
Okay. I missed a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, I missed a lot, but she turned out just fine because there's open communication. Mm-hmm. There are other means now. There's technology. Even when she went away to college, I mean, even now we're FaceTiming all the time. If something happened, you know, she's on FaceTime. We're group texting. You know, we're doing all of these other things. And for the mayor that dropped the case, I'm thinking the kids are young enough that if she has her husband's support and other familial support going on, that she's not really missing that much, because if they're young, they're not really going to realize how much mom is gone.
You make a great point, though, and that is community and outside of technology, which is wonderful. So now we're even better. But again, I was born and raised in the, well, not born. Yeah, I was born in the South and raised in the South. It was community. So if my mother couldn't get there, my dad did. Or my aunt came.
The aunties came. It sounded like
that's
she
exactly
was
right.
I was like,
and so there is community. And if you are not, and even as a person with no kid, whatever, I drove 4 hours to see my niece in the Nutcracker. To watch a little girl in the Nutcracker, tired, had been on planes, trains, and automobiles. I drove down, half sleep, drove back, and got on a plane the next day. Because again, I wanted to be there, but it is, I can't make them all.
That's right.
And you know what? She's going to remember that one. She's not going to remember that Auntie didn't make it when she was in the Shaka Zulu African February thing, because the other people were there. And so it is community. And
absolutely,
that's the big thing. And it goes beyond that. I'll have to bring the doctor stuff back in. Somebody's in the hospital.
Right.
You may not be there 24/7, but I'm going to send some chicken to the house.
Mm-hmm. And we have to bring up our own mayor here in D.C. Mm-hmm. who publicly adopted a child while she's in office, and she's single.
And was criticized
for her decision, and she is openly raising her child, running one of the biggest cities mm-hmm. in the country, and doing a good job, I would say, at doing that. She's a mother, and she has all these roles going on, and she has a baby to take care of at the same time.
See, that's the thing I don't understand about the criticism of the mayor. This is 2019, and she's a professional woman. She's a high profile professional woman. She's single, did not have a child on her own. So she decided to adopt. Good for you.
Hire a nanny.
But I'm sure she has help. But I think that it's just not an unusual thing. And so I just don't mm-hmm. see why there is any criticism of her adopting. I just think it's ridiculous. You want a baby? Okay, go ahead and adopt.
Especially in a time when there's so many people, kids that were homeless in foster care,
yeah.
who needs a home. I mean, mm-hmm. we should be embracing the people who want a mother.
Now, her child was not a foster care child, but that notwithstanding.
It's sexist.
Yeah, I just...
We don't ask men the same things. As to your point, a reporter that asks a woman now, how are you going to balance? I will bristle at that. Mm-hmm. Because ask the men the same thing. And I have male colleagues that have left professions for several months to take care of their kids. So what about it for the brothers that are taking care of their children and cutting back on their profession? It is sexist for us to say that a woman cannot make those decisions. We know traditionally what has happened, but it is sexist. Don't ask that of me. Yeah. Let me make my own decision. And feminism is the ability to choose what road I'm going to go down.
And speaking of choosing and defining or even redefining, who are you redefining for, as we see in this conversation about auntie or even making these professional choices? Do you, Lauren, need to define or redefine and speak out about who you are, because people are talking about women like you, not even you, but women like you? Do you have to now stand up and say, this is who I am, or do you care?
I think that life is about redefinition. I mean, every time, every stage in life, you may want to call yourself one name or you may want to have a different term. So I don't necessarily think that this redefining moment in terms of the word auntie or whatever title has to do with this specifically. I think that if you know who you are personally, whether it's professionally or whether it's personally with your friends and in your community, that who you are able to lead that conversation and lead that discussion. So as we're talking about it now, I don't feel like I have to stand up and say, this is what I want to be called today, so do that. I want to be called Queen, so everyone call me Queen. I think that as long as you, like we've said before, you don't call me out of my name, as long as you don't disrespect me or my family, then we can have a conversation and we can do what we have to do. But I think in terms of redefinition, that's just a constant thing that we just do as people.
There are exceptions, and I will put this exception out there. And I was actually on a conference call, an international conference call, has the only African-American on the call, has the only female on the call, and with an MD. And let me not give it away too much, because whatever, hopefully, listen, my clients. But one guy kept saying, Dr., just say Jones, and then he would say Sharon. Dr. So-and-so. So in the middle of an international call, I was like gripping the table, biting my cheek, and then I just said, and actually I just said, excuse me, but either we all gonna be MDs today that are MDs and be Dr. So-and-so, or we're all gonna be first name. So I am Dr. Sharon Denise Allison Oddie, your consultant. All right? And I said, so let's just, and literally the senior person on the call said, you know, that has really upset me. A white male said, that has really upset me with this tone. And I just text him that, Dr. Oddie, because I call you Dr. Sharon. In that regard, that's a totally different thing. But I have to say that for some of my professional sisters that are in those areas where you have a woman in a hospital and she is automatically assumed not to be an MD and to be told, I mean, I was told all the time, go change the bedpan. And I was saying, no, I'm the medical student or I'm the resident. That's totally a different conversation and a different show. But in that regard, that's now some sexism, racism, punching you in the face, or a judge calling a female, which happened, a judge calling a female lawyer and setting her down versus her counterpart. Now, that's different. And women, we know that we go through that, but that's a different scenario.
Mm-hmm. Ayo, I'll let you have the last word about defining or redefining yourself for the masses.
Well, I totally agree with my panelists with what they said. I also want to bring to the conversation this one basic point that we're not taking into consideration. The millennials and the transsexual, you know, LGBTQ community, you know, renaming and redefining is a big part of the community now. And we have to have respect to calling people what they want to be called. You know, I mean, you know, I know people who knew me when I was little and called me a certain name, and now I tell them to call me me what I want to be called, and they don't want to. They want to keep calling me that pet name or that name that I used to be called. You know, well, this is my name. My name is Ayo Sakai. That's what I prefer to be referred to, and people don't do it. So I think it transcends various topics and the various subjects, and it's very fluid, this whole concept of renaming now. So we do need to be sensitive to that. But yes, I mean, like, I agree that there are more important things that we should worry about. I do take offense to the whole B, H, and N, you know, and we do need to focus on the other things that's going on, like mm-hmm. in our administration, you know, the environment. Mm-hmm. There is so much more happening that we do need to think about. So absolutely.
Well, I think that's a good place to end this conversation, but I would like everyone to write their name on this paper so I know what to call them.
But we know what to call you.
I think you got it right the first time.
You think I did? Let us hope so. Dr. Sharon Adi, Lauren Yvette, and Ayo Rozier.
Dr. Naruff.
That's right. Almost there. Almost. When do you defend? When are you going to get this PhD?
I'm going to defend my proposal in September, and I graduate next year. So I'm really excited.
I want to be invited to that part.
Yes.
There you go. Thank you.
I'm sorry, but believe it or not, my dissertation topic is linguistic imperialism.
How about
that? Oh, wow.
That?
Excellent.
Oh, my. Oh, there's some grad school words right there. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday, June 21st. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Taylor Thomas, Millette Green, Bramante Bryan, producer Candace Atkins, and engineer Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night and have a wonderful weekend.